Just to give you an update, I had an injection done on my back week ago, Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we drove up to Minnesota where my kids are, my daughter and my grandkids. And we left here. It was 31 degrees. That night, it got down to 28 below. No, that was the weather. With wind chill was 35 below. And it was like that for about 3 or 4 days, you know. Well, it was tough. Nancy actually took him out in stages, you know. He'd get up and his little legs would get up, you know. She'd run him in, warm up some more, and go out, let's go finish business, you know. So... But then my daughter wonders why I don't want to retire up in Minnesota. Well, anyways, I'm glad to be here this morning. We did have a good trip up there. It was a good time being with family. I've got two son-in-laws that are really close to getting engaged. I mean, two grandsons that are getting close to getting engaged. We... spent time meeting both young ladies, you know. Really, they both happen to be redheads too. You know, that's amazing. And but they're good, godly gals, you know. And so that's really important to us as family. And certainly, sharing with somebody yesterday called me up and was asking me to pray for him. If you remember John Litt. In your prayers. He's a man that I come to know at Ballingas, I mean at Camp Craft when I was teaching there every week, and really come to know the Lord. And he's been by himself. He retired. He's down in Texas, and he's met a gal, and I was really, really thankful that his heart, he says, if this isn't of the Lord, I don't want it. But I'm excited about it, and I've asked you to pray me about it. So I gave him some scriptures concerning praying in God's will, something we're going to talk about here, you know. And then talking to him about being equally yoked and how important that is. So just kind of remember, John, he asked if whoever I could share with to pray for him, so... Anyways, we're here this morning to start, go back to Daniel chapter 9, where we're going to spend time going over the main part of his prayer. Actually, we're going to do that this morning. Last time we were together, a couple of weeks ago, we did an introduction to the chapter. A couple of things I want to bring out, and then I think we'll just get into the depth of the prayer itself. Because, this, as I said before, that this is probably... one of the, it's. Remember, I mentioned this. This chapter has two themes to it: prophecy, and then prayer. And it's amazing as we look at. I as I said to you before too, is that my own heart's been convicted. You know, as much as I try to spend as much time as I can in the Lord with prayer, but we could always do more of that, and even do a better job of that. You know. And so I hope that from today's lesson that you get a heart that really says, you know, this is really important, and I really want to be like a Daniel and use this prayer as a real model of how we should approach God. So as we do that, let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we do thank you for this day. We do thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. Lord, you are an awesome God. Lord, as we've been learning even through the book of Daniel, you are the mighty God who reigns, that all things are in your control, and Lord, that you have a plan for us for our future. We thank you, Lord, that we have already experienced part of that plan as we have come into a living relationship with you, the living God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And so, Lord, I want to pray for us this morning that you'll just open up our hearts and our minds. Lord, we need that. We need the help of your Spirit. Lord, that we need your Spirit to speak to our hearts and challenge us where we're at even in our own prayer life. So I pray, Lord, that as we look at Daniel chapter 9 this morning, Lord, that these things that we'll be sharing this morning would be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters and to my own self this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the witness that Daniel has been. We thank you for what we've learned of him. And Lord, most of all, we've learned how you respond in the affairs of individuals and in the affairs of the nations. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the sovereign God who has everything in your hands. So we come and we pray that those things, Lord, we pray for your will to be done, even in our class this morning. Pray for the other Sunday school teachers right now as they're opening up the word. Pray, Lord, that your will be done in each class. And then, Lord, as we've prayed every week, Lord, we pray that as the church comes together in this auditorium, in this place, unify our hearts together. Lord, we know how important that is to you, is that we would be unified. And, Lord, we pray that most of all, Lord, that you would be honored in worship today. You are the eternal God, the everlasting God. You are worthy of our praise. And so, Father, I pray that as your children come in this place, Lord, that they will come with hearts of thanksgiving, hearts of worship, and, Lord, that you would have your way with us this morning. Lord, be with our pastor. He brings the word to us. Lord, it's a word that you have laid on his heart for us individually. And so, Father, I pray that we would come with tentative ears and willing hearts. And I pray, Lord, for those who will be ministering in song, instrument playing, leading in worship, leading in prayer, and reading your scriptures. All to the glory of Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. So as we looked at this chapter before, and we looked at it as more of an overview and introduction to it, I really want to try to get into more of the meat of this particular passage this morning. And so just to kind of remind you, when we look at verse 1, right, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Xerxes, by descent the Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Remember that this is something that Daniel knew. He was being told that would happen. Babylon would come to an end, that head of gold. And in its place would come the Medes and the Persians, as we've already discussed many times. But I want you to understand right here, and how important, I think I mentioned this in the overview, is that for us, for prayer, it's so important. The key to a successful prayer life is that our prayers are based upon the Word of God. You know, that's why it tells us in 1 John chapter 5, I think it's in verse 14, it says that we have what we ask for because we ask according to His will. And so if you want to have an effective prayer life, it's so important, as we learn from Daniel, and we'll see today, that Daniel was a man of the Word of God. I mean, he studied the Word of God. His life was consumed knowing and understanding and spending time in the Word of God. And from that, it drove him to his knees and his face before a holy God. And my prayer is that for all of us is that as we study more of Scripture, is that it would cause us to be a people that would respond in the same way. Is that it would cause us to see the God that we serve and understand His plan for you personally and a plan for us as a nation and as a people. And that because of what we learn in His Word, is that it would help us then to grow in our faith as we learn His Word, and as we walk according to His Word, it will strengthen your faith and it will strengthen your prayer life. That's what I'm hoping would come out of this. And we see that in Daniel's life right here. Because he says in verse 2, he says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. Now, I want to just really quickly take you to three passages of Scripture, because I just want to show you that this is a man who spent time in the Word, and he was able to pray according to that, and his life was lived according to that. So turn with me, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I just want to pick this up because obviously Daniel had to be reading these things, because he says the books, and then we're going to look primarily at Jeremiah's passage. But I want you to see right here. Jeremiah 30, and look at verse 1. And when all these things come upon you, and he says what? The blessings and the curse. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. Which I have set before you and call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. And return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today with all your heart, with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you. And he will gather you again from the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the utmost parts of heaven, from there the Lord will gather you. And from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Now drop down to verse, end of verse 9. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. I'm almost positive that Daniel read this chapter and read this portion over and over again as hope, because we know that the circumstance he was in, him and his people, were in captivity. And we'll get into a little bit later. But then I want you to turn over to Jeremiah, and we'll see a very similar passage right here. And it actually, in Daniel chapter 9, he makes reference. And particularly, he speaks about Jeremiah's writings. Okay, so Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah 25. And pick this up right here at verse 8. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my voice, behold, I will send for all the tribes of the north, declares the Lord, and for the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Remember, we talked about this, that he actually, God raised him up to bring him, to bring destruction upon Israel because of their sin. And I will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these surrounding nations. I will devote them to destruction and make them a whore, a hissing, an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will banish from them the voice of myrrh and the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the grinding of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole land shall become a ruin and a waste, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon, here it is, 70 years. Okay? So that was important to Daniel, what he just read there. He's experiencing these things. There is no more joy in the land of Israel. They have sinned, and God has been very patient year after year. And even the northern tribe was taken away hundreds of years before it happened. And Judah was warned of these things. And yet she still rebelled against God, and we're going to see that in a mighty way. But here we see, then after that 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquities, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste. I will bring upon that land all the words that I have uttered against it, everything written in this book, which Jeremiah prophesied against all nations. And then one more passage, Jeremiah 29. And this is a very similar passage. Many of us have read this passage over and over again. It's given us great hope as we have come to God in prayer, okay? But look here at Jeremiah 29. For thus, at verse 10, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise, and bring you back to this place, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I'll be found by you, declares the Lord, and I'll restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place for which you were sent into exile. So there we see it. This is Daniel. Now we get back to chapter 9 of Daniel, and we look at verse 2. This is exactly what he's done. He's gone to the Word. He's in prayer, and he's looking at the words, and this has given him great hope. And remember, we just talked about this in chapter 8, okay? Now, it was shown that Daniel, he was given these other visions. Daniel, what I'm showing you is even going beyond these 7 years. So he's really concerned, and he probably was taken back a little bit about the things that he learned about Antiochus the Fourth, how devastating Jerusalem is going to become someday, that even their own temple, there'll be one who sits there and wants to be worshipped, and actually a pig itself is sacrificed there. So you can see that Daniel was probably concerned by these things. And so now he's been reading and praying, and he looks at these verses that we just looked at, and he's saying, now, God, you, the 70 years are just about over with. And that's what he's going to appeal to. He's going to appeal to God's Word. And that's what I was saying to you earlier. We can appeal to God based upon His Word. God is a God who holds to His words. He will not turn against His own word. He can't do that. He's God. He's perfect. Okay? Now, why the 70 years? You know, I just want to give you a little insight into that. Okay? Because these 7 years, I want to give you the reason for that. Turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 25. And before we really get into the prayer, I want you to see this. Give you a little insight into why 70 years. Okay? Leviticus 25. Starting at verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath. Not just the people, but the land is to keep a Sabbath. And he says right here, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in your fruits. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what grows of itself in your harvest or gather the grapes of your undressed vine. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. The Sabbath of the land shall provide food for you, for yourself and for your male and female slaves, and for your hired servants and the sojourner who lives with you, and for your cattle and for the wild animals that are in your land, all its yield shall be for food. So what is God saying here? He is giving instruction to them, is that He's giving them this land. And this land could be worked over, turned over, plant it, harvest it. For 6 years, God is going to bless the land, and He will bless their work for that, and He'll provide for that. But He's saying, on the seventh year, I don't want you plowing up the land. I want you to leave it. The land needs a Sabbath. It needs a rest. But by the way, just like we saw in the desert, through the 40 years they wandered in the desert, and God brought manna, what happened? Well, for 6 days, the manna fell, right? On the seventh day, it didn't. But on the sixth day, there was enough that they were gathered for two. In the same way, the land was going to do the same thing. On the sixth year, they would have bumper crops, and they would have enough to store away. But God was very plain and clear about the fact that he wanted them to take the land, but on the seventh year, let it rest. And so why the 7 years right here? Well, what happened was, is that these people did not have a Sabbath for the land. They just kept working right through it, thinking that, well, we're always going to have a, you know how it is, I got a bumper crop, and man, I'm going to go again. And because of their disobedience, what God decided to do, that these particular years that they had missed, okay, turn over to 2 Chronicles and you'll see this. Because of this command to them and their reluctance and disobedience, this is what God does. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And I want to pick it up here at verse 20. Now, 2 Chronicles 36. Okay, starting at verse 20. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. All the days that it lay desolated, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So in other words, God's saying, you know what? You've been disobedient. You didn't give the land its Sabbaths. Well, guess what? I am going to judge you. I'm going to take you out of your land. Your land's going to become desolate. And it was for 7 years. There was nobody around to take care of that land. And the land enjoyed its Sabbath, just as God had intended. Okay? So when you ever understand these 7 years, why were they put in captivity for 7 years? Because God was demonstrating to them of how their disobedience even affected the land itself. Okay? So let's go on now. I want to get to the prayer. Go back to Daniel chapter 9. So then, it says here, and this is so important, because we're going to see from verses 3 to verse 6, 15, the end of 15, is Daniel's a way he approaches God and the way he confesses to God and what he actually, in his prayer, we're going to see a little more detail as to what's in this prayer and how it could help us to how we should approach God. Okay? Because I really sense a lot of times in our own prayer life, it's so easy for us to say, you know what, I've got this problem and I just want to go to God and just let him know. I need this, I need that, or I need you to change this. You know, we kind of sometimes get the feeling like God is our friend over there, or sometimes somebody even thinks of him like a lantern. You just rub him and, you know, and out he pops, and we just give our confession and we get what we want. Okay? That is not the way we approach the living, eternal, awesome, eternal, mighty God. You know, he's awesome. He's holy. And as we have seen over and over in Scripture, times where men were given a vision of coming to the throne of God. And what happened? They fell on their face. And they said, woe is me. And see, that's the kind of attitude that God wants from us. And you'll see that in this prayer right, because I want you to see this. He says here, and by the way, I think this is so important. He says, then, after he read these things, and he's prayed about them, and he knows these things are on his own heart and mind, he's concerned about these things, it says, then. And you can't do anything better than then. I turned my face to the Lord. See, that's one lesson we need to learn in our needs and our walk with the Lord. It's so easy when something just doesn't go right, we kind of run off to the first person we could say, and I've got all this problem and everything else. And we want answers right away. But yet, because of who you are in Christ Jesus, you are a child of God. He is your heavenly Father. And He deserves that when you are troubled in your spirit, is that the first thing you do is you go to Him. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with going to your brothers and sisters. We are told at times that we need each other and encourage one another and lift one another up and pray together. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. In this church over the years, we've had wonderful seasons of prayer together. But there's something about your relationship to God. And I said this before, be still and know that I am God. And I love this when I see this, and I turn my face to the Lord, seeking Him. And we saw here the condition by prayer and pleas for mercy, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And remember I said this, that there was, in his way of coming to God, that first of all, remember, he always had a plan. He always had a place that he went to. It was his upper room. In the same way, you and I need to have a prayer closet. So that when you're troubled in your spirit about something, or there's a concern in your heart, and you want to bring it before the Lord, is that you need to have a prayer closet. Somewhere it's just you and the Lord are alone. Okay? And then we see here that we need to come in the right attitude. Now, here we speak about, and I've said this before, He's coming with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, I'm not saying that all of us have to just go rip our clothes and start throwing dust on us and everything else, okay? What we're seeing here is an attitude of the heart, okay? Humbleness. You know, whatever it is that's in your way between you and your quiet time with the Lord, you need to put it aside. You need to just let it go, and you need to come to God, just you and Him, naked before Him, fasting and sackcloth and ashes. It's an attitude of recognizing who you are compared to who He is. Okay? See, I really believe when we see God in more of His glory, it will give us a better view of who we are ourselves and give us a greater view of who He is. Amen? But He says here, I prayed to the Lord, and He said, I love my God. And I want you to see that this is a personal God. This is your God. You've come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is your God. He is the one true and only living God. And so you have every right to come because He is your God. And then I want you to look here. He says, I made confession, saying, and let me give you these keys right here. This is so important when we come to prayer. Okay? We just don't want to run right into His presence and right away I got to give my whole list and everything else. He deserves better than that. In fact, I have really, through the years, have learned in my own life, the way that I really want to approach my God is to acknowledge Him. for who He is. And many times I'll just spend time just acknowledging and confessing to Him all of the attributes that I have come to appreciate. You know, that this is the Almighty God. This is the living God. This is the all-knowing, all-powerful. This is the God of mercy and grace. And so it's really important that when you come to Him, spend time in acknowledging who He really is. And again, you could base it on Scripture. You know, I really believe that that's the way we ought to come. When we look at Daniel's life, he comes here and he says, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome, who keeps His covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And so we see the first thing He does, he has a place that He goes. He has a prayer closet. He goes in there. He humbles Himself. He puts everything aside and He acknowledges the very fact of who He is compared to God. And He says, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenants and steadfast. See, He's going to appeal to these attributes of God through this prayer. Okay. And like I said to you, you can appeal to your God based on His attributes. Okay? Look what he does right here. He says, he confesses. And I want you to see this. He doesn't come there with an attitude like, God, I've really been a good guy lately. I've been reading your word every day. And, you know, and I even was witnessing to my neighbor the other day and all these things. He doesn't come with that kind of attitude. He doesn't come saying, look what my people Israel have done. Look at the king has done. And look what the prophets have done. Look how the people are responding. He says, we. See, he's right there with them. And even though I've said this before, now Daniel was a very righteous man, godly man, but he's also a sinner, and he knows that. Okay? Let me just, confession is so important. I could take you all kinds of scriptures, but I'm going to take you one that I have really, through my years, that when I have gone to the Lord, I know that one thing that's really important to Him, and go with me over to Psalms 51. And you're familiar with that passage. This is Daniel confessing David confessing his great sin. But there's one verse right here that always has struck me and has helped me in my time of prayer. Psalms 51. And I'm just going to home in on this one verse. And I think it's so important. Because when it comes to confession, it's important that we'd be like this. Look at verse 6. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. I believe that when we're confessing, let me be honest with you, we need to be, let me just say this, it's important that we be honest with the Lord and open up our hearts. And look at the inward part. Because let me just say this. This is God that we're coming to. There ain't no hiding anything from Him. I could hide things from you, even my dear beloved wife, who knows me more than anybody on this earth. But I could hide things from her. But when you're open before God, there ain't no hiding. He knows all about you. He sees every room. He sees every closet. He sees every drawer. And I think it's so important when we come to God like this is that we must come confessing and do like what it says right here. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. That means we need to be honest with God. Now, He knows these things, but He wants you to bring them up, because He doesn't want you to hide. It does no good for us to hide things from God, does it? It doesn't. Okay? Here's another thing about us talking about humbleness. Okay, now I'll just give you the example that Jesus gave. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector. When Jesus was given an example about how you'd approach God. And remember the Pharisee? Oh, Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like those people over there. For I'm a Pharisee. Look at the good things I've done for you, Lord. I even put money in the changer's box, you know. And, you know, even as I came here to temple, I gave something to some alms. I do all these things. You see, is it God want us to come that way? That's coming in pride and my own self-righteousness. But what is he looking for? He wants you to be honest. Lord, I can't even look up to heaven. My sin is so great to an awesome God like you. And what does he plead for? God, be merciful to me. See, that's what we appeal to. We appeal to God's mercy and his grace. See, grace is something we get we don't deserve. Right? And mercy is holding off from what we really deserve. But that's what Daniel's appealing to. He's appealing to God's mercy and his grace. What time is it? It's already 4:15. I can't believe that's it. Well, let's go on. I'm not going to get through this whole thing, so I'm probably going to get so far right here. So let's go on. So then, I want you to understand, look at the we. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly. Now, there's another word right there, acted wickedly. Don't take your sin to be, it's not too bad, I only said a little white lie. It's wicked. Our sin is wicked. Okay? To this holy God, to your heavenly Father, the one who gave everything for you, your sin to him is wicked. And don't ever forget that. And we need to grab a hold of that. And I really believe that when we see our sin as it really is, More than anything else, you will have a greater desire and appreciation to do what's right. Because you understand that this wickedness caused the death of your dear Savior. Okay? He said, we have done wickedly, we have rebelled, we have turning aside from your commandments and your rules. Now look at this. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets. In other words, they weren't into the word. They weren't listening. And even when a prophet did speak, they even had lying prophets that would come along and say, I don't listen to that. That ain't what God said. Peace, peace. We're not going to be taken away. God's been good to us. Look at, we got everything. We've got our armies and our king and everything else. That was the attitude of the people. See, they were so caught up in their wickedness and their sin. And the greatest sin that they had was they were worshiping other gods. You know, it's interesting. After this whole time of captivity, we don't see too much of Israel after that ever going back to idols again. So one good thing came out of this. Okay? But to God, I mean, it was wickedness. They rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and your rules. It says, we have not listened to your servants and prophets who spoke in your name to our kings. Now, this is the whole nation. It's not just... This we includes my fellow Israelites, our fathers, our princes, our kings, and to all the people of the land. See, this was a judgment upon the whole land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness. See, God was right in what he was doing. Sometimes when judgment falls or something happens in our life, to me, I'll be honest with you, when something starts happening in your life, it's a time when you got to start getting on your knees and getting on your face and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Something's not right. You're trying to do something in my life. You're trying to get a hold of me. You're trying to get my attention. And Lord, I need to hear. And Lord, I want to hear from you. And so it's important then that we understand that God is right in his judgment, or that he has a specific thing he wants to do in and through your life. Maybe something you need to learn. Or you're going to go through something and you're going to come along and encourage somebody else that may be going through it. Okay? Now, to you, O Lord, belongs righteousness. He's right in what he's doing. He's holy. But look at the results of their sin. But to us, open shame. Well, I tell you, when I've studied this and I think about our own nation and I think about the shame before us, sometimes I just want to weep for us as a people. The shame. Shame on us. Shame what's going on. Sin of our nation. Our sin. Remember, we're in this together. I'm going to stop right here because we're out of time. But I'd like to go ahead and make sure next week we finish this. And I've got a list that I wanted to... I told you I've been reading this book about the prayer of Daniel. And I told you last time that I was going to make a list of confessions. And it's a great list that really, the individual that wrote this basically was told to take this list and read it not once, not twice, but three times. And then write down what God has shown in your life. Because just as Daniel, it's so important that we're honest with God and we deal with these things. Okay? But we're going to see in the rest of this prayer. We're going to get more into detail on it. And, we got a late start and I got off the rattling again. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I the time seems to go by so quickly. But you're not confined by time. You are eternal. And Lord, even some of these things we quite don't understand as we've spent many hours studying and everything else. And Lord, it just keeps showing me over and over again of how ignorant I really am and how much I need to spend more time in your word and spend more time with you. And I've been convicted in my own heart, Lord, of spending the right amount of time in prayer and just being as honest with you as I can. And I pray, Lord, that through this prayer that we're learning, Lord, that you'll continue to help us and show us, Lord, our need, that we would be more like Daniel, a man who really held to your word, studied you, prayed according to your word. And Lord, we have seen many times you have done great and mighty things in Daniel's life. And we can reflect on our own lives. All the years we've been walking with you, Lord, Lord, you have proven over and over again that you are a faithful God. And we thank you for all the answered prayers in our own lives, particularly for this church here in Keeneyville. Lord, we thank you for what you have done over the years, that this church has been faithful to you, praying to you, seeking your face. And we pray, Lord, that will continue. We pray, Lord, in the day that we live, we'll not lose heart. But our hope is in you. Bless us now as we go on the next hour. In Jesus' name, amen.